and the king doubled his salary a second time. What an honor, cried all the courtiers. After the banquet, there was to be a ball. The bride and bridegroom were to dance the rose dance together, and the king had promised to play the flute. He played very badly, but no one had ever dared to tell him so because he was the king. Indeed, he knew only two airs and was never quite certain which one he was playing, but it made no matter, for whatever he did, everybody cried out, "Charming, charming!" The last item on the program was a grand display of fireworks to be let off exactly at midnight. The little princess had never seen a firework in her life, so the king had given orders that the royal pyrotechnist should be in attendance on the day of her marriage. "What are fireworks like?" she had asked the prince one morning as she was walking on the terrace. "They are like the Aurora Borealis," said the king, who always answered questions that were addressed to other people, "only much more natural. I prefer them to stars myself, as you always know when they are going to appear, and they are as delightful as my own flute playing. You must certainly see them." So at the end of the king's garden, a great stand had been set up, and as soon as the royal pyrotechnist had put everything in its proper place, the fireworks began to talk to each other. "The world is certainly very beautiful," cried the little squib. "Just look at those yellow tulips. Why, if they were real crackers, they could not be lovelier. I am very glad I have traveled. Travel improves the mind wonderfully, and does away with all one's prejudices." "The king's garden is not the world, you foolish squib," said a big Roman candle.